You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, sucking your blood here on KPHX 1480. Ow-hoo!
And that's Wolfman Jack back from the grave, and he has been really not heard for a long time, Eric. I asked you. I was like a waiter. I asked you when you were starting to eat. But Wolfman Jack, where is he?
Dead.
Okay, he's dead.
Well,
confirmation. He's not dead?
I don't know. He might be. He might be coming back to life.
You sound like Wolfman Jack. I drove across country right after high school, and we listened to him all the way through. Cross country, Wolfman Jack.
We had Wolfman Jack over at Jackass Acres for many, many years ago. My parents' service station over in New River.
He stopped for gas?
No, he did like a big swap meet type thing. He was hosting or something.
Really?
Yeah. I was too little to remember it. But, of course, this is Bad Moon Rising by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Remember it.
Well, I remember parts of it.
So you followed in his footsteps.
Yes, but this
Wolfman
is
Wolfman Jack.
But that movie, that song is from Blade, starring Wesley Snipes.
No, Harrison Ford.
That was Blade Runner, Dave. And you look at Johnny Depp with his hand over his heart, like, oh, he's appalled by you saying that. That's why we need a camera in here.
We're getting them though.
I've always wondered how in the world did you come up with the name Jackass Acres? I just out of curiosity, is it has to do with the last name? Or
no, it was. I think it was before we took it over. Or something.
Oh, okay, it was already called.
It was there a long time, right before the 80s.
Because it's kind of
interesting. No idea where it is.
And why is it not there anymore?
How do you know the Roadrunner, but you don't know Jackass Acres?
Because I've never been to Jackass Acres. I've been to the Roadrunner.
Yeah,
well, that's why.
I used to live up in Tremonto, so I'd go to the Roadrunner.
And where did this Jackass Acres go?
It's still there. You know, it's just not a gas station
anymore.
Yeah,
it's a dog park now.
Went to the dogs.
Dogs
let the dogs out.
But
the jackasses.
And we don't have any wolves.
Yeah.
No wolves around.
That you know of.
You have coyotes, though.
We do have a few vampires, though.
But you have coyotes.
Yeah? We do have coyotes.
Oh, excuse me. They change ownership. Maybe you don't. Okay. Next.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little. There's a lot of other movies coming out. Of course, today is Breakthrough Entertainment's Vampire Show. It's our Halloween Hullabaloo Part 2. And, we're going to celebrate vampire-ism all day long, sucking blood and all that. And, by the way, if you're a woman and you want to suck blood, 602-252-1480, my name is Joseph J. Erdo, and I'll be here until noon. All right, so.
But he does take reservations after.
I do. You'll just, let me know.
Appointments, I should say.
There's a couple of bar crawls coming up. It should be really exciting.
Or transfusions.
Yeah.
Hospital visits.
Yes. All right, well, there's a couple other scary movies coming
out. He's like a blood bank.
Well, let's talk about
It's also a different type of bank.
Go
ahead.
Let's talk about one of the other horror movies coming out. Of course,
Eric got it. He always loves my humor.
I got it.
I slipped him a 20 to laugh.
I slipped him a 40, not to.
How do you think I got my sandwich?
Oh, it's a good sandwich he has there. I got a banana I'll be eating later, as well as my organic fruit snacks.
On that note.
Back to you, Joseph J.
By the way, it's a real banana, not a metaphor.
Yes, I was
metaphoric.
Say that could be kind of dangerous.
Greg will be enjoying a banana later. 602-252-1480. Any banana will
do.
All right.
He's happy to see you.
he's laughing about it. That's good. Well, don't worry. We'll talk about pride in a little bit.
Never laughed.
You know what?
We'll talk about pride in a little bit. Don't worry.
Doesn't Joseph J. sound like a dude ranch, like a ranch? Go to the Joseph J. Ranch.
The lazy Joseph J. Ranch.
Yeah, exactly.
Lazy.
Doesn't
lazy.
It sound like a...
Did you know that the J stands for jackass?
No. John, my grandfather.
I know. I just couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
All right. So
look at Johnny Depp's appalled again. I got to take a picture of Joseph's shirt so
sorry.
They know what we're talking about.
Go ahead.
I promised our listeners that I would give them more information about the great movie that's coming out, Christian Mingle. Of course, we have on
the
star and the writer-director. Okay, there's Lacey Chabert and Corbin Burnson. They will be joining us live here shortly in just a little bit. But so we've got a whole segment with them. But they're all here. They're in. They're going to be on in honor of.
Wait, what did you say?
I'm mingling my words. Christian Mingle.
He's Christian mingling.
What happened?
Actually, it's
because
he's looking on the website right now, and look at that hot girl he's looking at.
I don't see a hot girl.
He's thinking about mingling with a Christian.
Right. Yeah. You know, there are Christians are really hot. There are some really hot Christians.
Yeah, but they don't really mingle unless they're married.
Well.
Maybe. So weird thing about them.
Maybe that's the point of Christian mingle. Love it.
If you are Christian and you are ready to mingle, yeah. go to breakradioshow.com, click on the big F, and you can find out information on how you can win. It's a $150 value.
And
that
you
is
can
the
meet
biggest
your soulmate.
You could meet your soulmate. In all honesty, in all realism, frankness, and everything, that's all what we want, right?
The worst news is that our little vampire friend, who's on our Facebook page, by the way, will not be able to join the Christian Mingle website. His name is Lou Rothberg.
Okay.
So they will not allow him into that site, unfortunately. Horrible.
Well, that's a shame, but you can.
The movie sounds good.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the movie, our interview with them, and everything like that
Sam
coming up.
Sam Rothberg. Mm-hmm. Maybe he has to change the first name.
But it's from writer-director.
It's the Berg part.
Writer-director, Corbin Burnson, star Lacey Chabert. We, of course, know her from Mean Girls.
Great. Mean Girls.
Yeah, she's great on multiple levels. And
At what levels?
Multiple levels.
Okay, thank you.
But, of course, it's $150 value. I'm just trying to get this out there.
Great value
out there. It's a one-year membership, and we've got two of them to give away. But, again,
do you have to be single, though?
You know what?
Yes.
I'm not talking about
me. And you also have
to
be Christian.
Yes, you must be single.
No, I want to make sure you know the rules.
You do have to be Christian?
We're going to talk about
probably
that.
Probably.
Okay.
I'm going to prove it.
Okay.
Yeah, because most of those folks don't accept anyone.
We're going to talk about that when we talk about the movie. So
okay.
Let's not spoil.
It's going to be interesting.
Yes,
I'm sure there's a lot of guys that go on Christian Mingle who aren't Christian and don't even believe in God, who are just trying to get a hottie little Christian girl.
I bet you're right.
An innocent young girl.
And I think that's absolutely disgusting.
It's quite clever, actually.
What? Oh.
But, I remember when we tried that 15 years ago.
But we don't want anyone to misuse these great
They're good websites.
So go to breakradioshow.com.
This one time.
And again, the word of the week is pretzel eater.
Pretzel eater.
So if you enter that, you're pretty much, you know, if you're the first person to enter that word, you're pretty much guaranteed to get this $150 value.
That's a big value. But you got to be single.
You've got to be single.
We don't want married couples on this website.
And we want you Christian.
Unless your wife or husband approves.
And just so you know, they gave us three.
Three or
but
two?
Joseph J. took one.
I'm going to find a nice Christian
woman. Yeah. So we're giving two to our listeners, but Joseph J.
The pub crawls aren't working.
There's not enough Christians over there. They're all just so slutty. So slutty.
Drunk sluts.
Yeah. Drunk sluts at these bar crawls.
Why didn't we get
all they
website,
wanna do,
then?
All these drunk sluts want to do is suck my blood. Yeah. Mm. All right.
And that's why he keeps giving out the phone number, 602.
602-252-1488.
Account too, probably.
Okay, so you know what? You want to know about honeymoon. We're going to talk about honeymoon probably in our next hour.
I want to know about Bobby. Let's talk.
We got eight other movies to talk about.
Oh, you're right.
Let's talk about The Devil's Hand.
You're like conjuring a witch there by asking for that.
Wait, you said her name three times. Before we go on, there is a really serious question we have for Joseph. And you can break character, whatever you need to, if you have to. Are you looking for a girl? Are you looking to get laid or a lover? Which one? Because then we can do a little contest on this with Eric. And
I'm just looking. Now this is gonna sound wrong, but I'm looking to have a good time. I'm just looking to enjoy life, and that does not.
Now look what you did.
No, you want to find your soulmate.
You know what? No, I'm just looking out there to experience life. And you know what? If I make friends, that's why I go to these bar crawls. And that's why I'm breaking character. I'm just going out to have fun and make friends.
And find your soulmate.
But no,
if that happens along the way.
Now, if you go back and here she is.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
And it is Bobby from Phoenix, Arizona.
We said her name three times, and this is what happens.
Three is the magic number, my little blood-sucking
boy. Uh-oh.
Three?
Are you ready?
You got a friend?
I might be.
Three? Some?
Blank, blank, blank. Okay. I've got dogs in the background. They have all calmed down for you, Joseph.
Yes.
But they're waiting for you when I meet you. They are looking forward.
The dogs?
The dogs.
I don't know if Joseph's really into that.
No, not yet.
That's illegal in most states,
isn't it? Just because I'm into cartoon characters doesn't mean...
Quiet, like a bunch of parrots. Silence, my children. Silence. Keep your energy strong.
Yes, mother.
Signs of toughness are coming, Joseph.
Okay.
Just for you.
I'm excited.
Love you guys bunches. Talk to you later. I got work to do.
Take care.
Take care, Bobby.
Just make sure the blood comes out of his neck and not somewhere else.
Yes, okay. Anyway, I'm going to these things just to have fun and experience life. Breaking character. But in terms of my character, I'm out there to... I don't even know yet.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what the character
Johnny
would
Depp
be.
It's evolving.
No. Yes, it's evolving.
Find your soulmate.
No, I'm just going out to have fun.
No, find your
meet
soulmate.
Friends. I have awesome friends, some of whom are listening, and so you know, the people who know me as Joey, they are the people that matter. The people who know me as Joseph J.
We don't matter.
You matter, but on a different level.
Oh my God! And I've been calling him Joseph J. Joey.
I thought his name was James.
No. Oh. All right. Well, you know what?
He just said we don't matter.
I didn't say that. I said you matter on a different level.
A better level?
Oh. A less intimate level.
Oh, well, that's for sure.
602-252-1480 if you want to know me as Joey. All right. So let's talk about... Let's talk about the devil's hand now, that because we're playing with fire here.
Yeah, devil's hand can be kind of fiery too.
We were talking about
does a devil's hand know you as Joey? That's the question.
We were talking about Christian girls. Now here, let's just take it to an all new level. Five young Amish girls.
Oh, same thing. Right?
No, it's not Amish.
Oh, young the Amish are even more
what?
Yeah.
Oh, even more crazy.
You
more
can't.
No, they're not crazy. They're just very, very sheltered.
Yes. Oh, but they let their kids go out for like a year
I'll
to go do what they want.
If any of them look like Kelly McGillis, that's okay.
She's beautiful. She is beautiful.
Well, five young Amish girls accused of being Satan's children must fight for their lives when their devout community elders insist that they be cleansed before turning 18. Stars include Rufus Sewell, Jennifer Carpenter, and Colm Meaney. Dave, I know you saw the trailer.
I saw it. You know, I don't usually like these type of movies. However, this seemed to have suspense to it, and it just might be good if the plot held up. And I just can't tell through the trailer, but that's my qualification on this trailer. Suspense. If the plot held up, I might watch it.
Well, just like you said, there is a lot of potential in the devil's hand.
Yeah.
But no. And every time the story suggests that human hands may be responsible for the murderous activity taking place, this becomes kind of intriguing. So, you know, there's some, you know, is it supernatural? Is it human? You know, that's what makes this movie intriguing. But unfortunately, too much focus is put on the supernatural elements, the satanic elements, none of which are even the least bit fascinating, much less frightening. And to make matters worse, this is one of those horror movies that uses the tired trick of darkness, so you can't see what's going on. And we all know, if you can't see what's going on, if it's dark, it's not scary. Right, Dave and Greg?
I was scared last night.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I was trying to hint at something there. But anyway, it's just frustrating viewers who will be struggling to make out the on-screen action. You know, there is a final twist in this movie that I think is really clever, but that's too little, too late. I'm giving the devil's hand a thumbs down. Get it? Thumbs down on the devil's hand?
The hand, he lives down there.
I mean, try that one. Yeah. So,
or Jennifer Carpenter. She saved Dexter for the last couple of years, and now she's in this.
And those Amish girls are so hot.
Oh, yeah. Do they have beards?
No beards. Okay. No beards. We saw a bearded lady last night. But Amish men, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. But
isn't Jennifer Carpenter married to Michael C. Hall?
They were, and then they divorced quickly. But they were still good friends. They still worked on the show together.
No. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about, since you brought it up earlier with the banana and all, Pride, a movie that's come out.
I don't get it.
It's called, the movie's called Pride. It's a London-based group of gay and lesbian activists attempt to raise money to help the families of miners during a lengthy strike of the National Union of Mine Workers in the summer of 1984. This is based on a true story. Anyone remember this strike in the 1980s, the mine workers? Anyone?
No, I
didn't either. But Dave, what did you think of the trailer? What did you get out of that?
The concept was good. I mean, a group helping another group, that's always a good start for any type of movie. And if it continued on those lines, it could be a good movie. However, if it took a turn and went away from the concept to something else, it may be a limited market.
Well, you know, it's often formulaic, this movie. You know, it's hard to get to one of these. I mean, because this kind of reminded me of The Full Monty. And The Full Monty was a great, great movie, but even that was kind of cheesy, wasn't it, a little bit?
Yeah.
And so that's what this kind of is. It's far too cheesy. Its characters spout silly lines and join together in song. But one should not be surprised. This movie is called Pride. So if you got a movie called Pride, it's going to have a little bit of cheese in it there. It's easy to forgive those faults, though, when the feeling is uplifting. You know, and yeah, I was uplifted in this movie. If the emotions are real, then nobody minds the fact that the means are manipulative. So, again, the movie is manipulative, but it is very uplifting.
Had a message.
Yeah, and you said, you know, it's great when people get together. That's what this movie's all about. That's a very universal theme. And, you know, it's all about the unity's essentiality. It's a feel-good, food-for-the-soul movie. Mm-hmm. I will say a couple of other things that I didn't like about it was its occasional implication that we are all gay at heart. There's a few parts in the movie, and that's, I mean...
Speak for yourself.
Well, okay. You think we're all gay at heart?
I'm happy
no,
and
I'm
gay.
I'm not gay at heart.
You're not gay at heart?
No.
I was an honorary gay once. I chose John Cusack.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? So it suggested... what did that mean? Let's elaborate.
There are three lesbians in the movie who are singing, every woman is gay at heart, or every woman is a lesbian at heart, every woman is a lesbian at heart. And then they like say, no, that's offensive. And then, you know, that we think, okay, well, they're going to, like, try to come up with a message here. And then the women laugh it off, and they just start singing it again, like, no, this is true. And then a woman kisses one of the lesbians, and
that's
it's like
fantastic.
She's, well.
And what happened?
You didn't see this one.
I was going to
give
say
us more on
most
this.
Guys
oh,
fantasy.
So the manly.
So what happened?
Yeah, but
do you have photos?
No, I don't. But you can go see Pride. But see, it's just slightly offensive. I think.
Got you. Yeah, because they're imposing. No one likes. Be imposed on by someone else as
right.
well.
Right, and I don't think that even gays and lesbians aren't going to believe that, you know, most of, you know, those groups, they're not going to believe that, you know, because that's not what it's about. You know, it's about expressing oneself and being true to oneself.
Well, HBO
and
I'm did
all
have
for
the
that.
L word, though. They did have that serious L word.
Well, oh, Showtime.
Yeah, and I'm all
oh,
for...
Oh, Showtime, yeah.
I'm all for that, but you know, and as far as
I
everybody...
It's just the generalization.
Yes.
Basically, it's just like people who say they have a generalization that everybody needs to do this or everybody is this way.
Yes.
That's not true. There's the yin and the yang. There's the male, the female.
The salt and the pepper.
Exactly. So, yeah.
The peanut butter and the jelly.
So, this isn't my statement against...
The steak and shrimp.
The pepper doesn't last in St. Louis. I was going to say, too, the gays, they like to really break out into song. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some great dancing in this movie. I will say, it makes you want to take dancing lessons.
But was it just a lesbian saying everyone's a lesbian, or were the other side?
It was pretty much the lesbians, you know, in
this
Oh, okay.
I can see that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's different.
All right. Well, anyway, there is some great dancing in this movie. There's a great scene where one of the gay men just breaks out dancing disco, and he says, "Man, I love disco," because it's set in the 1980s. And, you know, then all the women are like all over these other guys who he teaches to dance. So, you know, it shows you. You got to, if you're a guy, if you know how to dance, then
that's the key.
Yeah, that's the key.
I don't know how to dance.
That's how Kevin Kline found out in In-N-Out.
yes.
I love those hamburgers. That's what a hamburger is all about.
Stay tuned for Breakthrough Entertainment's Gay Show coming next.
Talking
year,
about Gay like Show, I mean, you got In-N-Out and you got Five Guys hamburgers.
All right. All right, well, anyway, I also want to mention on this movie, on Pride.
I've been going to Fuddruckers, so.
The accents in Pride. I don't know if you got this from the trailer.
What?
I don't know if you got this from the trailer of Pride. The trailer of Pride. The accents are a little bit difficult to understand at some time.
Give us a sample.
I couldn't do it because it's very
it's Irish.
I think it might be Irish. Yeah, it's
but
yeah.
It's
it
Bill Nighy who is he's English because he's Davy Jones in the Pirate of the Caribbean. And I
well they're London based. I don't again. It's not really thick, but it's occasionally. That, you know, it's just the phrases that they use, and sometimes they talk fast, and you know, so it's not always easy to understand. So
I think the big thing about this movie, probably the message that they're trying to get across, is that the group comes to help the group of minors, and probably there was some antimony between them.
Yes, there would definitely was. Yeah.
So it's like, hey, wait a minute. You know, even if you don't agree with our lifestyle choices, we're going to come here to help you, which then opens the eyes of the minor group to say, hey, you know.
And that's what the world needs more of. I mean, it's not, hey, I'm going to stand behind my civil rights and my, you know, whatever I stand for.
Right.
That's
a good point.
Let's figure out what everybody, you know, everybody's cause is and support one another.
Makes sense.
And as a movie, it does wonderful with that. So that's why I'm giving Pride a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Good.
It looks like a good one.
It is, I think so, too. So again, just a couple of, you know, minor notes there as I was watching it. Yeah, and you know, so let's talk. We're gonna save Kill the Messenger because I know you saw it, Dave. But you know, we'll get to that probably in our next hour. But let's talk a little bit about Automata. Antonio Banderas plays an insurance agent of a robotics corporation who routinely investigates cases and complaints surrounding defective androids and makes a discovery that has profound consequences for the future of humanity. It starts off, tell me what you thought of the trailer first.
You know, I thought it looked, actually, that had great possibilities. I had no idea of what this was, but with the robots. And the key also is this, as Greg is laughing hysterically.
That's okay, Dr. Zoidberg. Go ahead. Okay. Continue.
It's always a case, did the plot support, does it have enough substance? And the premise was good. But did the plot carry through to its natural conclusion in an intriguing, suspenseful, and substantive way?
Well, you know, Automata does start off really slow. I thought in the beginning it was really boring. I was losing interest, you know, quite quickly. But its sci-fi circuits start to generate interest about the halfway point. I don't know if you could tell from the trailer, but if there's a point where... Antonio Banderas is basically on the screen alone with robots. Robots, and they're in the desert all alone.
That's why he's laughing.
Yes, that's why he's laughing. You know, so but and I think those scenes, Antonio Banderas gives an award-worthy performance. We saw him just, you know, do great work in The Expendables 3 a couple months ago, and in here he does even better work. He finds himself alone on screen with just a handful of robots, and things become truly intriguing. And you know what? This is actually a technologically advanced dystopian future that is immensely stirring. And you know what? Its most exceptional aspect, and this is, I think, where you what you were looking for, is its surprising spirituality. Mm. As viewers empathize with the robots and think about life's biggest questions from their perspective.
Nice.
So can these inhumane things.
Inhumane?
These aren't humans. They're robots.
Unhuman.
These androids.
Is this film in English?
Yes, it is.
Androids versus iPhones.
Yes. But are they, you know, worth sympathizing with?
Yes, I wasn't going to guess.
In this movie, they are. You are thinking about life from their perspective because, I mean, think about, you know, when you're mad at your, you know, phone or something, you just throw it on the ground. Well, think about if your phone could actually start to think and feel for itself. And not in a way like, I want to destroy the universe, but in a way like, you know, I'm helping this person. I am here to serve my master. And then you take your phone and smash it on the ground because you're angry at, you know, a message that you got or something, right?
Well, don't kill the messenger.
Right. Well, and we'll get to that. Yeah.
But that's the same.
But that's
concept.
A good kind of like, you know, analogy that I'm giving you in our own. So then down the line,
so
we have robots
who
are serving us.
Right. So then it's like the automated utensils, so to speak, become more human. Because they start to have feelings and express them?
Not necessarily feelings, but just they think, you know, existential purposes. They have a purpose in life, and then people abuse them. And, you know, and so they...
I might like this movie.
It is intriguing. So I am giving Automata a thumbs
up.
Not a huge thumbs up because it did take a lot of, you know...
A long time to get it going.
Yes. It wasn't until Antonio Banderas' character was in the middle of the desert.
And Melanie Griffith is in this movie.
Yes, she is. Yes. So that's an
interesting... Is she just a voice, it says? On the IMDb, it says she's just a voice.
I saw
not
this a while
pretty
ago.
Face?
I believe she's got a scene. I believe she does have an on-screen scene. Unless I'm thinking of another movie. You know, but I do recall seeing her lately. I seen this a little while ago. But
Don Johnson was not in this movie.
Okay.
Okay. Are we going to start going through all of her husbands?
Right. So you know what? And we got a really we got some guests on the line. They're waiting to talk to us. So we're going to have to take a quick break.
They are.
Yeah. So we're going to have to take a quick break.
Just lit up just now.
Oh, there you go. See, I've got ESP.
Ping.
And so.
Right. What was that?
Well, you know, have you ever seen Let Me In?
Yes. No, I have not. You've never come over.
It's the remake of Let the Right One In. This is Breakup Song by the Greg Kinn Band from Let Me In. Chloe Grace Moretz, Cody McPhee.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great vampire movie. Great, great vampire movie. Really eerie. Chloe Grace Moretz plays a vampire in the movie. She's really creepy, and she's also creepy in the movie. And this is from Let Me In, Breakup Song.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX. We're in the house, or I should say, in the house is Joey. We'll be right back.
Hey.
It's always great to have a friend in business. That's why we encourage you to reach out to Brandon Ross at Burt Carpenter Financial, a full-service residential lender. Call now for exceptional service and an accurate pre-qualification. Connect with him online at BrandonRossHomeLoans.com or by phone at 602-953-7826, 602-953-7826. Brandon Ross, NMLS number 858655, and Burt Carpenter Financial, NMLS number 142159.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment here on KPHX 1480 AM in Phoenix. Today is Breakthrough Entertainment's Vampire Show, coinciding with the release of Dracula Untold. And you might recognize that song bringing us back from the break as the Buffy the Vampire Slayer theme. I'm producer and film commentator Joseph J. Erdo, and with me is your host Dave Isaac, co-host Greg Isaac, and board operator Eric Reinert. We'll get back to the scary stuff shortly, but we need to momentarily lift the mood as we have a couple of very special guests joining us in just a second to talk about the new romantic comedy Christian Mingle. But before we bring them on, we should say that we've got a great giveaway going on right now on Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network's Facebook fan page. Simply go to breakradioshow.com, click on the big F, and you can find out how you can win a one-year membership valued at $150 for christianmingle.com. And joining us right now on Breakthrough Entertainment are Corbin Burnson, writer-director of the new romantic comedy Christian Mingle, as well as the film star Lacey Chabert. First of all, Corbin, Lacey, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Absolutely. You know, you've both had such extraordinarily rich careers. Corbin, in addition to writing and directing, you've been an actor on Ryan's Hope, L.A. Law, JAG, General Hospital, The Young and the Restless, Psych. I mean, we would have enough to talk with you about to fill an entire three-hour show. And Lacey, your acting career includes Party of Five and Mean Girls, as well as a plethora of voice acting in animated projects such as The Wild Thornberries. But we need to focus on the film at hand today, and that is Christian Mingle. And in it, Lacey, you play a young woman who, in a moment of inspired desperation, fills out a profile on ChristianMingle.com, hoping to find Mr. Right. However, her attempts to impressing her dream guy end in disaster when he calls her out on her faux faith. In honest realization, she sees her superficial life for what it really is and is driven to create a personal relationship with God. You know, Corbin, you've written and directed several faith-based films over the years, but this one is different in two ways. The first way we'll discuss is that this is a romantic comedy, kind of in the same vein as You've Got Mail. We don't see very many of those with a Christian spin, do we?
Right, no, you don't. And, you know, I made four or five other faith-based films, and I try to be a little bit different in all of them. I'm not one of these, you know, hits you over the head, altar call, you know, sermon movies where, you know, perhaps I should be because they tend to make a lot of money. They become sort of big rallying cries. But I try to mirror my journey a little bit more, be a little bit more explorative of faith and the way people come to faith and also the role the faith plays in our world, you know, which is hugely interesting to me, without necessarily point of view on that, but more just trying to understand the role of faith and you know, perhaps some things that have happened to faith and why there's been an erosion of faith and where there's been times and reason for faith making its resurgence. So those are, I'm keenly interested in those kinds of things. And I try to do those in my films, but, and in this case I said, hey man, let's just make a romantic comedy. Let's make people laugh. Let's see if Christians can dare laugh at ourselves, you know, a little bit and have some fun with us, while still, you know, ultimately being true to moral values. But you know, can we have some fun? Can we just make a movie, quite frankly, that anybody can watch, you know, and get some entertainment out of, no matter what your beliefs. And by the way, if, you know, somebody gets a little turned on to, you know, faith through it, hey, fantastic.
For sure. And we'll get back to the comedy in a moment. But Lacey, this movie is also quite a departure for you as well, isn't it?
Well, there's definitely an element of faith in this movie that's been different than other ones that I've done, which, you know, I'm really proud of. My faith is a huge part of my life, and, you know, I love that my character goes on a journey to find the right guy and ends up, you know, understanding what it is to have a closer relationship with God. And I think the movie's funny and it's uplifting, and, you know, especially in the time that we're living in right now, I feel like any sort of, you know, levity and light that you can bring into the world is a good thing.
Definitely. And let's talk more about that levity. The other thing that sets Christian Mingle apart from other faith-based films is the comedic aspect. It's somewhat self-aware, being playful about things like praying over coffee and whatnot. It's satirical, but not mean-spirited.
Look, if you're making a comedy, it certainly is. You got to make people laugh. If you're calling yourself a romantic comedy, you better have some romance, you better have some laughter. But I also believe, you know, sometimes messages, medicine, whatever you want to call it, you know, where's the old expression, you know, stick that medicine in a spoonful of sugar, it makes the medicine go down. Was that Mary Poppins or whatever it was, you know? Yeah. And, you know, it's, you know, faith, sometimes to a lot of people, not those of us with faith, you know, it can taste a bit sour. So, hey, you know what? Let's wrap it up in a little laughter. Let's say we're not that different from everybody else. We're just talking about another facet of our lives, you know, that's central to our lives. I'm not going to run away or shy away from that. But I believe the world is pretty wounded right now. And okay, you don't have to have faith or not have faith to look at the world and say it's wounded. Now, it's always been wounded, but we and our kids, unfortunately, can view every part of that wound because of internet and television and global reporting. You know, whereas before things happened in foreign lands, it either took months or you never ever heard about it. We're acutely aware of the wounds of the world right now. And I think, you know, it's important as a counterpoint at minimum to say there's another part of this life that's extraordinary. It's a wonderful gift each of us have been given, you know, to be born, to have this life, to know love, to see a flower, to see a child being born, these miracle, majestic, wonderful things. And it's important that we understand there is a counterpoint to all this stuff. And by the way, that counterpoint may very well be the salvation, you know, for some of these horrible things in the world. I believe love is a powerful, powerful, powerful tool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that Corbin, you know, wrote a script that the character is relatable, you know, and she's awkward. And by telling this lie, you know, to go on Christian Mingle and find this guy and sort of, you know, assuming that she's enough of a Christian or, you know, she doesn't really know what that means and tries to define what that means and, you know, ends up getting herself in a lot of awkward situations where she's really not sure what's going on and sticks her foot in her mouth. And, you know, a lot of the comedy comes from those type of awkward situations, which I sometimes in real life, well, all the time in real life, find myself in. So I related to her awkwardness and uncomfortableness. And, you know, I think that having comedy in the situations is just real, and it's how, you know, life really happens. And, you know, it makes her more vulnerable. And I think it's a lot about the character that people can relate to.
Wonderful, wonderful. But Lacey, as an actress, was that fine line between seriousness and satire at all difficult to walk?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just playing the character. You know, he's the writer, he's the director, it's his vision. And, you know, I was hired just to bring her to life. So a lot of that is really out of my control and out of my hands. And my job is just to make it as entertaining as possible and as realistic as possible. So I really trusted him, and, you know, we had a lot of fun collaborating together. And while we were filming the movie, I was actually preparing to get married. So I would have a day off, and I would go to my bridal shower, and I'd fly home. And it's pretty crazy to take a job when you're getting married in a month, but it was one of the most memorable months of my life. I don't think I slept but maybe 2 hours the whole entire month, but there was such excitement, and I was, you know, so excited for what was at the end of this movie, you know, with my wedding. And it was actually, it made the whole experience really special because we were all able to share it together.
Great. And congratulations, by the way, on your marriage, Lacey. That brings up an interesting point, though, about the life of an actress. How do you juggle your own life while also going in and out of so many other characters? I mean, your voice acting credits alone are staggering.
You know what? It's all I've ever known. I've done it since I was 7. So I feel like I don't really know any different, so it's just normal to me. But I do realize it's a little crazy sometimes. I mean, I just had to cancel being in a friend's wedding and a vacation because I got a job and had to go overseas. You really can't ever plan is the only downside to my job. It's exciting because you never know what's happening. But then all of a sudden, you know, God forbid there's an emergency in your family. Like, you have to drop everything and go. And it does make life a little more interesting. But I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, it's all I know, and I love it. And, yeah, and especially growing up in front of the camera and going through awkward changes and, you know, milestones in your life and people kind of, you know, you're on display in a different way than other people. It can sometimes be a little bit hard to navigate, but I've been very blessed and, you know, had a really enjoyable experience in this business.
That's awesome, Lacey. And Corbin, you know, it's been such a great year when it comes to faith-based films. Mom's Night Out and The Song are among my favorites of 2014, and the box office has been very kind to movies like God's Not Dead, Heaven Is For Real, and When the Game Stands Tall. What do you think it is about this kind of film, such as Christian Mingle, that is resonating so well with audiences lately?
Well, again, I would dare I say the wounds of the world are all more evident. You know, when you start stepping up to beheadings, forget that they're in the name of religion or a religion, but when you start stepping up to that kind of graphic reality of life, when you start looking at our politicians in Washington just completely unable to dance with one another, when you look at, you know, something scary like Ebola just coming out of nowhere and, you know, still, you know, we don't know, you know, as much as we know, we don't know. I think you know, it's not just faith-based movies. I have four sons, you know. One of them happens to be living in New York, and you know, he's out of the nest, but he's been back for a while, but he went back. But family wants to be with family, man. There's not this big need to, like, I got to get out of the house and get out, you know. There's some, we're hunkering down a little bit. Look at the proliferation of, you know, people trying the best if they can grow vegetables in their garden because they're organic and pure and without, you know, GMOs and all sorts of things. You know, we are returning to, no pun intended, our roots a bit. And at the root of who we are, at a community level, it did have an aspect of faith. I mean, if nothing else, it was a place everybody got together. You know, the church, the synagogue, the that's where people got together. But also just the notion of that comes out of those experiences. You know, hey, a guy's barn burns down. Let's drop what we're doing and help the guy rebuild his barn. I think we're just by necessity, and this is, you know, I would, you know, for me as a Christian, I say, you know, I look at something greater, and I go, that's just God letting us have the leash for a while. We do the leash, we get out there pulling back, and we're returning to, you know, sometimes to know God, you got to have that room away, you got to have the leash to go out far and see where your free will takes you, and then come back and go, you know, it's nice to be pulled back into something that feels right and good. And I think we're in that right now. We're in that state right now. So to answer your question long-windedly, I think, you know, faith-based movies, I think, you know, whether it's for Christian audiences, a film like God's Not Dead, non-Christian audiences won't see that movie. But for Christian audiences, there's an affirmation of what somebody said the other day that Christians often forget is God is real. And I think for those outside what I call the circle, people like myself that were just dancing on the edge for so long, they had a notion of something, that, like Gwyneth in my movie. I think films like this are okay. I'm gonna dip my toes in that water. I'm gonna see what it's about. If I don't get hit over the head too hard, maybe I'll come back again tomorrow. And that's where I fall. That's personally and as a filmmaker and a storyteller, that's where I fall. I'm in the, hey, you know what? Let me take your hand. Let me just walk in. Nobody's going to bite. I'm not telling you what to do, what to become. I'm not saying this is the way. You're going to figure that out. God and you can figure that out for yourself. God's got a path for you that's, you know, I can't lead you down a path. I can pull you inside and I can invite you in and open your heart up. Then it's you and God. So that's what I feel like my purpose is. And that's, I think, what some of these movies, especially a movie like ours, like Christian Mingle, the movie, I think that's part of the appeal, that it's not a hit you over the head. It's come and test the waters.
Those are all great points, Corbin. And Lacey, do you have anything to add on that?
You know, I think people can relate to them. And, you know, especially when it's, you know, characters that are, that live a similar lifestyle. And I think right now, I think it's important. I love to go to the movies and laugh. And, you know, there's so many incredibly dark, stressful, you know, terrible things happening in our world right now. And I think to go to the movies and escape for a minute or be inspired or, you know, simply laugh is something that's important. And I think it's really a privilege that my job allows me to be in a position to, you know, be part of bringing that to people. And I'm proud of the movie. This movie also, it offers a lot of hope. You know, and I think that my character's journey, you know, in the end, she realizes that having a relationship with God is something that can bring a lot of hope and light and peace to her life. And that's something I can definitely relate to. So I'm particularly proud of that part of the message.
Terrific. So if viewers were to come away from watching Christian Mingle with some sort of general theme, lesson, message, or idea, what do you hope that that might be? Corbin, let's start with you.
I very clearly, and I wouldn't call it a message, it's just a thought, a feeling. I'd rather... You know, messages sometimes tend to get wrapped up in dogmatic kind of principle and all that. I believe what I want people to feel, first, I'd like people to laugh. Have a good time. Laugh. I don't care if you're Christian, not Christian. You know, enjoy some of the setups of the movie, the devices of the movie. But bigger and more importantly is if you even have a notion of this faith stuff, you know, and I mean an inkling, or you, the lightest of notions about it, or even no notion, everybody's got their own path to this truth. The truth and light and love that I call God, me. I'm not telling you to call it that. But we all have our own path to it. And let your path be your path. it doesn't have to be the other guy's path. It doesn't have to be path of somebody else. It doesn't have to be, let it be your path. Open your heart, Christian, all the way to the other spectrum, atheist. Just open your heart for 2 seconds and let the love and the light in. And, you know, that's an undeniable thing. Whether you're Christian or an atheist, there is light and there is love. We all know those are common things. I, other Christians, that's where we start to place God. You know, those who aren't Christians, maybe they just, you know, call it something else. But let that light and let that love in, and then let the path, you know, clear the path. You know, it'd be like a trailblazer. Just clear the path and let your path be there. And don't think you have to replicate some other guy's path. You know, I hate it when I hear somebody who says, well, you know, I'm not going to become a Bible thumping, you know, guy who goes to church every Sunday and tell people what to do and how to live their lives. I'm not going to become one of those Jesus freaks. I'm saying you don't have to. Just find your path. Let the light and the love in your heart, and then follow your own path. You know, I don't tell them this, but I say, I know God will take care of the rest. You know, start to create that relationship. That relationship may very well start with, I don't believe in you, man, but you're going to have to prove it to me. And you know what? That's a dialogue. And I'm happy if it starts there.
More excellent points. Lacey, how about you?
Well, I think the biggest thing for Gwyneth is she realizes that you just have to be honest with who you are, especially with the person that you want to be with. And for her, it's not just, you know, talking the talk, but understanding what it means to walk the walk, and that it is, you know, her having a close relationship with God, which she finds through Paul by signing on to Christian Mingle. It becomes something very real for her instead of just a label or a title.
Great. And on a somewhat fun note now, have either of you come across any cases of people really faking their faith on ChristianMingle.com as Lacey's character does in the film?
You know, I don't know any stories firsthand that are exactly like our movie. I mean, I'm sure there are. But I have tons of friends that have met on dating websites and Christian Mingle in particular. And they are now married and have children. And, you know, when you really think about it, we do everything else online. I mean, we spend so much time online through social media, and it's such a huge part of our lives that it kind of makes sense to me that you could also meet someone online.
I've certainly, on the online dating world, come across people who, in almost all online dating things. I've heard stories of people faking stuff. Certainly, I think at the top of the list is usually the profile picture they put up there. You know, either 40 pounds lighter or 10 years earlier or back when I had hair, you know, kind of thing. I haven't really heard a particular – we've been very, very cautious and respectful, especially with Christian Mingle, that, you know, it's not a place where they want people to go and, you know, or they don't like to think people go to just find a good guy. Yeah, I've heard plenty of stories from other websites where it's like, oh, I want an older guy, so I'll go to that older guy dating website. I want to meet a doctor or a lawyer, so I'm going to go to that way dating website. You know, do people abuse it? Probably. I haven't heard any direct stories about, like, our movie says. In fact, it's very important to Christian Mingle to say, you know, the only caveat, Corbin, because I went to them with this idea, by the way. They didn't come to me. It allowed me to put my movie in a real-world experience, not having to make up some fake, phony, you know, Christian dating website, which is important because it put it in the real world. And one of the things they said, one of their only notes was, you know, we really don't want her just totally pretending, I mean, not being a Christian at all. And I said, so okay, we'd be okay if she's kind of baptized and went to Sunday school and had a feeling about God. They said, yeah, that's better. And they actually led me in a direction which is more true. And again, you know, wonderful that it worked out this way. Because even in the story, she's like an atheist that comes around. And that's a long road to go in 2 hours of a movie and storytelling, and maybe even a little unreal in the ending. But I think she's more like so many people, and this is where they led me, that there are people who are, you know, who just have a notion of this. And we say, I think I used that word in the movie, you have a notion of it, you have a feeling of it. And you just, it's like, you know, I know I got a bicep, but I just don't go to the gym, but I know if I go to the gym and I pump some weight, that bicep's going to become big and strong. And I think more people are like that. I think, you know, I mean, I think when they do, I think the numbers are something like 92% of all people, when are asked, they have a notion or a belief in God or some greater purpose or something they don't give a name to. So that's a lot of us, you know, yet only what, 20-some-odd percent of people actually identify themselves as Christians. So it means a lot of people that, like, walk by that gym every day and look inside the people flexing their muscles and go, yeah, maybe tomorrow, you know. And so I think she's like that, and I think it's more true that we made her that. And that really came from Kristen Mingle. So do people fake it? I'm sure they do on all these websites. But I think, you know, I think in the case of Kristen Mingle, I think there's a lot of people, certainly there are Christians looking for Christians, but might be some people who, like, you know what? I want some of that in my life.
Okay, well, once again, I want to thank you, writer-director Corbin Burnson and actress Lacey Chabert, for taking the time to talk with us here on Breakthrough Entertainment. We look forward to having you on the show again soon and wish you the best of luck with this weekend's release of Kristen Mingle.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys will check out the movie and have a good weekend.
Absolutely. And keep in mind one thing. A lot of heavy stuff talked about in the last 10 minutes. It's a comedy. Have some laughs, have some fun, have some popcorn, and smile. The world needs it.
And that's probably the best point you've made all day. We'll talk more about Kristen Mingle coming up in our next hour, but as we head into a break, you're hearing the theme song to the Buffy the Vampire Slayer spinoff, Angel. And remember, we've got a great giveaway going on right now on Breakthrough Entertainment Broadcasting Network's Facebook fan page. Simply go to breakradioshow.com, click on the big F, and you can find out how you can win a one-year membership valued at $150 for ChristianMingle.com. We'll be right back with more of Breakthrough Entertainment Vampire Show here on KPHX 1480 AM.
It's now time for the word association game. Contestants, go ahead.
Bars. Meat market. Gas.
High prices.
Politicians.
Liars.
Auto mechanics.
Ripoff. Guys, whoa, 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 wait a minute here. Not when I think of my auto mechanic, I think of trust, care, safety, and fairness. This sounds like the definition of a friend, which was what Alexander's All Care Automotive Repair achieves with his customers. The peace of mind that comes with a mechanic that puts you first. Located at 3310 East Thomas Road, Phoenix, 85018. Call 602-956-3781. 602-956-3781.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
If you haven't got problems, I feel bad for your son. I got 99 problems and a chain one.
And welcome back again. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix. Although that sounds a little bit of the bayou.
Well, I bleeped it. Right?
Bleeped
right,
what?
Eric? That sounds good that I bleeped it.
I don't know
I
what
didn't
you're
notice.
Talking
did
about.
Did you bleep it?
What 99
you...
problems, but ain't one of them?
I don't know what it
yeah,
means.
Yeah, what's the problem?
I don't know.
If you're having girl problems...
I don't know what you mean.
I've heard this song before, but... I don't know where it's from.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's actually from Fright Night, the remake.
Oh yeah.
Starring
with Anton.
Colin Farrell.
Oh what? Yeah. And Anton.
Oh,
Farrell.
Anton Yelchin. Yeah. 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 So 99 problems
Farrell,
by
Will Dave Franco.
Hugo.
George
yeah.
Bush.
And this is a great. You know, I love the feeling that this song gave me during the end credits.
What type of feeling?
Like a creepy fun feeling.
A creepy fun feeling.
I like Fright Night. Didn't you like the Fright Night remake?
I saw it, but I don't really remember it.
I thought it was fun. It was fun.
I might have been drunk.
For a remake of an 80s movie?
Drunk?
I said I might have been. I don't know.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, we can.
And high.
No, I don't do that.
Oh, okay. Good thing.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that
or
is
any less.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
Well, I don't do that.
Well, we have a lot left on our vampire show. Breakthrough Entertainment's vampire show. Yeah.
So we have a vampire-ess.
No, we don't. I wish. 602-252-1480.
But who were you then asking the call if
I don't know.
There's no vampire-ess?
But you know, we're going to...
Okay,
now we're going right back out again.
Yeah, we're going right back out.
There.
This is
You'll
from the original
I mean.
Fright Night. Fright Night sung by the Jay Giles Band.
I prefer the remake.
I like the remake too, but this is a nice dance song. Yeah. When we get our webcam in here, we could...
They're dancing now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live for
Here we go, the chorus.
KPHX. And we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerum Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480.